Thank you, praise band. Thanksgiving is always in season. Amen. Well, if you would join me this morning in Luke chapter 5, the story that we're going to look at today follows up on the last couple of stories from the last couple of weeks. Jesus in the synagogue, having authority, driving out the evil spirit, then going to Simon's home and healing Simon's mother-in-law, and then the other healings that take place after that. Those stories spill over into the story that we have today in Luke chapter 5. If you're able, would you join me in standing this morning as we hear the word together? One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, by the way, the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Galilee are one and the same. Those are two names for the same body of water. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, that was a waste. The fleet of fishing boats skidded onto the shore, and a bunch of bone-tired fishermen stumbled out of their boats, eyes half open, empty nets slung over their shoulders, as the sun started to peek over the hills to the east, and as the landscape was waking up to a new day, it meant the end of a long night for these men. Now, supposedly, nighttime was the right time to fish on the Sea of Galilee. Supposedly. Not on this night. They had spent all night heaving their nets and pulling those nets back into the boat. Each time, the nets returned just as empty as when they threw them. All night on the water, and all it amounted to was just a midnight boat ride. Simon and his fellow fishermen mumbled to one another, "Well, that was a waste." They fell onto their knees on the shore. They began washing their nets so they could take them home and hang those nets up and then just collapse for a good day's sleep. While they were washing their nets, Simon noticed with the break of day that the people began to come out and they were surrounding Jesus standing on the shore. And with every minute, that crowd was growing. Simon had to have smiled as he thought about the last few days and everything that had transpired over the last few days. Jesus teaching with authority in the synagogue, driving out that evil spirit. Jesus going into Simon's very own home and healing his mother-in-law. And then all of the instances of healing that had taken place after that. Simon had to have smiled, washing those nets, looking at Jesus, thinking about everything Jesus had done over the last few days. Maybe it was just a little bit of perspective for Simon after a long, unfruitful night of work. While Simon was replaying the events of the last few days in his head, and he's washing those nets, he probably didn't even notice that Jesus had stepped into his own boat. Jesus said, Simon, let's push the boat off of the shore into the water. Simon climbed into the boat with Jesus. They pushed out a few yards, and then the people started filling up the shoreline, and the boat just a few yards out, Jesus sat down. Now, folks, in those days, in that culture, sitting down was the posture for a teacher. While today, preachers and teachers most often preach and teach from the standing position, I don't think I could preach sitting down if my life depended on it. In those days, a teacher sat down to teach. So when Luke tells us that Jesus had the boat pushed out a few yards from the shore, everybody standing on the shoreline, and Jesus sat down in the boat, what Luke is saying to us, it's his way of saying, this is about to get real. We're about to go to school. Jesus is about to teach. Jesus commandeered that boat. The boat became his pulpit. And he taught the crowd of people. Now, we don't know specifically what Jesus taught the people, but we do know that his word still had authority. And when Jesus got done teaching, he turned to Simon, and Simon figured that Jesus was going to say something like, okay, we're done here, go back to shore, go that way. But no, what Jesus told Simon was, let's go out further. Let's go that way. Let's go into the deep. And while we're at it, let's put the nets back down for a catch. You can just hear the groans of all the fishermen on the shore. They're probably saying to each other, oh, he's a carpenter and he's a good teacher, but he's not a fisherman. He doesn't know what he's talking about. We've been there and we've done that all night long, and it's time for us to go home. And what Simon says to Jesus is, Lord, our boats are in. Our bodies are tired. Our nets are clean. The sun is up. It's not the right time. Your instructions don't make sense, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Folks, when you look at verse 5, Simon is not just saying, he's not just shrugging his shoulders saying, if you say so. No, that's not what Simon is saying. He's not just saying, if you say so, but instead what Simon is doing is he's asserting, if you say so, Jesus, if you say so, because Simon knows who he's talking to, because Simon has encountered Jesus over the course of the last few days, because Simon remembers the events from these past few days and everything that Jesus had done, because this story in Luke chapter 5 doesn't stand alone. It comes after the stories before it in Luke chapter 4. It comes after the episode in the synagogue. It comes after the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. It comes after Simon witnessing Jesus healing multitudes of people. So when Simon says, if you say so, he's not saying, if you say so. He's saying, if you say so, I've seen what you can do. You have authority. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. And because it is you who is asking me to do this, I'm going to do it. Even though it makes no sense. You're asking. That's all that matters. So they pushed out further. They let down the nets. And in no time, the nets got full. They got so full that the ropes began to stretch and creak and break. Fish started flipping and flopping and shooting out of the holes in the net. Their boat tilted to one side that the net was on, with water gushing into the side of the boat. Simon gave the signal to his partners on the shore. They came out with another boat for backup. Both boats so heavy with fish that they started to sink. The water was creeping up their legs and the boats tilting from side to side as they skidded back into the shore. And all of this episode was too much for Simon. All he could do was fall down at Jesus' knees, a wet, blubbery mess, heart racing, lips quivering. And in this moment, Simon was attracted and he was repelled at the same time. He was attracted to Jesus. He was drawn to Jesus because of who Jesus was. But at the very same time, he was repelled. He was repelled away from Jesus because Simon knew who Simon was. Ever been there? Ever been drawn to Jesus because you know who Jesus is, but repelled from him because you know who you are? Ever been there? Simon was suddenly aware of the presence of God in the person of Jesus, and with gut level, raw honesty, Simon says, "Go away, you're holy, I'm not, I'm so sinful, I have no business being anywhere near you." What Simon is saying in this story is, "Jesus, I lack, just like my nets lack fish all night long, I lack everything, I am nothing, you are everything, I come up empty, you are full, I lack in your abundance." Notice what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, Simon, don't be so hard on yourself." He doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say, "Simon, oh, you're not so bad. It's not that terrible." Jesus doesn't give Simon a pep talk and say, "Lift your chin, believe in yourself, have some self-esteem about this." Jesus doesn't say that to Simon. Instead, it's like Jesus is saying, "Yeah, I know, you're right. You do lack, you do." Jesus is saying to Simon, "I know you lack. Let me be your abundance." Thank you for that one amen. Amen. It's you and me, Alton. Here we are. Got another one. Yeah. Can I get a third? But this is what Jesus is saying. He doesn't try to talk Simon out of believing this way. He says, "Yeah, I know you lack. I recognize you lack. Of course you lack. You lack everything. You lack so much. Let me be your abundance." And then what Jesus says to Simon is, "Don't be afraid." Now, this is one of 365 times in the Bible that the Bible says, "Do not be afraid." One time for every day of the year. So God has a lot to say about being afraid. He has a lot to say about fear and how we as humans tend to live by fear and be driven by fear, and how that fear that we are so often driven by, it is not of God. And so the Lord says to Simon in this story, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the fact that you lack. Don't be afraid of the fact that you bring nothing to the table. Don't be afraid of the fact that you're inadequate. Don't be afraid of the fact that you are insufficient. Stop being afraid now, Simon, because we've got some work to do. From now on, you're going to fish for people." Had to have caught Simon off guard. I imagine Simon was thinking to himself, or maybe he even said it out loud, "Simon, Jesus, do you hear me? I'm telling you, Jesus, I don't bring anything to the table. I don't contribute anything to your movement. I offer nothing. I have no value to give you. There is no reason for you to take me. I lack. I'm sinful. I'm empty. Just like my nets. That's what I am." See, in this world that we live in, it's all about what you can do. It's all about what you bring to the table. It's all about your gifts and your strengths and your abilities. It's all about your charisma. It's all about what you can produce. It's all about what you bring to the table. But in the kingdom of God, it's not about what you bring to the table. It's about recognizing the fact that you lack and that He is your abundance. See, it was Simon's inadequacy that made him adequate. It was Simon's insufficiency that made him sufficient. It was his inability that made him able. It was his emptiness that made him ready. It was his lacking that pointed to God's abundance. It was his weakness that gave way to God's strength. Jesus said to Simon, just like he said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." So when Jesus says in verse 10, "Simon, from this point forward, from now on, you're going to fish for people." Folks, understand something. This isn't an invitation. It's not an invitation. It's a declaration. Jesus isn't saying, "Well, would you like to fish for people?" He's not saying, "Simon, I invite you to come with me and participate." He's not saying, "Would you think about this and get back with me?" He's not inviting him saying, "Would you consider this option of going with me?" It's not an invitation. It's a declaration. Jesus is saying to Simon, "This is who you are. I'm declaring it. This is who you are from this point forward. You are a fisher of people with me." Make no mistake about it, Jesus says to Simon, your identity has changed. Your vocation has been exchanged. It's not an invitation, it's a declaration. In that moment, Simon's life was rearranged. See, up until this point, Simon believed in Jesus. Simon saw him. Simon knew him. Simon trusted him. Simon called upon him. Until this moment, Simon believed in him, knew him, trusted him, all that stuff. But up until now, Simon's really been the same old person. It really hasn't affected the way that he lived. He hasn't really been changed anyway. He's still the same old guy, still the same old fisherman and family man, still the same old person that he's always been. There's no real difference in Simon up until now. But at this point of the story, he's different. At this point of the story, he's changed. He is transformed. His life is rearranged. His vocation has been exchanged. His priorities have been overhauled. Simon has, up until this point in the story, his life has been moving in one direction, and in this moment, the course of Simon's life was redirected in a whole nother direction. Jesus says to Simon, things are going to be different from now on. You, Simon, will be different from now on. You will be mine. You join me in the work I do. You become a part of this movement with me. Not an invitation. It's a declaration. Jesus says to Simon, the kingdom of God has come upon you. It has apprehended you. Just like Jesus commandeered the boat in the beginning of the story, Jesus has commandeered this man for his purposes. Luke says, and they... Now, we can assume they would include Simon and probably James and John and maybe some others. They left everything and followed him. They left everything. Boats, nets, careers, livelihood, families, everything. And so at the end of the story, the response from these few fishermen, the response was not, we'll give you our spare time. When we clock out from work, then we'll give you that time. We'll give you our leftovers. We'll give you when it's convenient for us, when our plates aren't so full. We'll work you in, Jesus. When there's nothing else in the way, when things settle down after this season gets over with, when our ducks are in a row, if you really, really need us, if you still need us at that point, and if nobody else is going to do it for you, then we could do it. That's not what they said. They left everything and followed him. See, folks, what happened in those nets was a sign that showed what each of them offered. Simon's nets came up empty, lacking nothing. Jesus' nets, when he had the nets put down, full of abundance and provision and life, the nets were full. There was much. And church, the sooner we come to this realization, the more available we are to him. And the realization is this: I lack in Jesus' abundance. I lack, and he is my abundance. I'm empty, and he's everything. I'm weak, and he is strong. I'm empty, and he's full. I'm nothing and he's everything. I lack and he is abundance. The sooner we come to that realization, the more available we become to him. So many of us think that because we don't have anything to bring to the table, then that disqualifies us to be a part of God's movement. I've talked to so many people over the course of my years of ministry who said, I can't. There's nothing I can do. I'm not able. I'm not qualified. I'm not gifted. I can't do anything. So many people think that because we don't bring anything to the table, then that disqualifies us from being a part of God's movement. And so what we do is nothing. We don't do anything. But the truth is, it is your inadequacy that makes you adequate. It is your insufficiency that makes you sufficient. It is your inability that makes you able. It is your emptiness that makes you ready. It is your lacking that points to God's abundance. It is your weakness that gives way to God's strength. Jesus says to you, I know you lack. Let me be your abundance. This Wednesday begins a special season, the season of Lent. And the theme for this year is going to be poured out. Knowing the joy of living empty. And so we're going to be talking about what it means to live with this understanding. Jesus poured out, he emptied his life for us. And he calls us to be people who live with that sense of emptiness and know the joy of really living that way, of pouring ourselves out for the sake of his kingdom. As we go through the series over the course of the next 6 weeks, our children and our teenagers and our adults will all be on the same page, hearing, encountering the same stories, the same messages as we move through, and have the opportunity to journey through these weeks together as a church. This morning, I want to issue you not an invitation, but a declaration. This is who you are. You're his. You belong to him, and you're different. You have been apprehended. Your life has been commandeered. You have been commissioned to be part of his movement. And the fact that you don't have anything to bring to the table, that is what makes you qualified to be a part of his movement. I want to invite you to stand with me. As Katie comes and plays, we're going to pray in just a moment. There are many of you, if not all of us, who understand what it means to be attracted and repelled at the same time. Maybe you've been there, maybe you're there right now and you just feel that way about Jesus. You're attracted to him because of who he is, but at the same time you're repelled because you know who you are. And it's okay to live there because that's just the truth, right? But so many of us have let that keep us from fully entering into the life that he has for us. And so what we do is we just kind of keep him at arm's length and say, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to do this. I'm not good enough to follow you. I'm not good enough to serve you. I'm not good enough to be a part of the movement. I'm not good enough to serve in any way. I'm just not good enough. I'm unable, I'm sufficient, I lack, I'm the wrong person. And what Jesus says to you this morning is, yep, you do lack, yep. And that's exactly why I want you. Because my power, Jesus says, is manifest in the midst of your weakness. My abundance shows up when you lack. So what Jesus says to you this morning is, come to me and lack. And let me be your abundance. Because what Jesus says to you is, we got work to do. Just like he said to Simon, we got work to do. He pivots pretty quickly into talking about the vocation, the life, the ministry, the work that lies ahead. And so what Jesus says to you is, yeah, I know you lack. Let me be your abundance because we got some work to do. Join me in this movement of mine. We're fishing for people. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I just want to be very open in these moments in terms of the response. I don't know how the Lord's talking to you. Maybe he's talking to different people in different ways right now, and that's okay because he's God. And so I just want to trust that however he's speaking, would you just respond in a spirit of obedience as I pray? The altar's open if you'd like to meet him here.